God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You're invited to follow along on the insert as the title of this message, coming from our gospel message from Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 28, is the Lutheran Church of Suffering. Our text is particularly dealing with Peter's change here. You may remember last week, picking up a little bit earlier in the gospel of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Simon Peter piped up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's at verse 16. And then what happens with just a few verses later? As the cartoon at the bottom of this first page depicts, the first sheep says, "Wow, Peter goes from hero to zero in just five verses." The second sheep responds, "The point isn't to be a hero. The point is to follow Jesus." The first sheep then continues, "Oh, right, and then be a hero." To which the second sheep is in dismay. How can someone go from making a bold confession of faith by the glory of God the Father to then being called a hindrance to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Talk about a transformation in just a few verses here. Well, what's going on? A very challenging concept is what's going on. The struggle between our sinful nature and the spirit that is within us. Peter goes from being a hero, a champion of the Christian faith, to a zero, so to speak, one who loses all concept of what Christianity is all about. What was going on in Peter's mind? When it came time for the question, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" and then, "Who do you say I am?" Through the Holy Spirit, Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What does that mean? Now the sinful nature of Peter kicks in. What does it mean to be attached to the Christ, the Son of the living God? From Peter's human sinful point of view, this was being attached to a key player here. This was going to be someone who was going to be in the know. This was going to be the Messiah. And what was the Messiah going to do? The Jewish thought at that time was the Messiah was going to restore the nation of Israel. The Messiah was going to kick out the Romans and establish a new order to come. Peter wanted to be right there. And so when Jesus now is talking about his suffering, now Jesus, when he's talking about his upcoming death in Jerusalem, all of a sudden Peter is seeing his dreams shatter right before him. He was no longer going to be sitting sort of at the right hand of this Messiah bringing in the new order. He was just sort of sitting there thinking, "Wait a minute. All my hard work, all my being with Jesus here for 3 years is now going down the tubes if this guy dies." There's a difference in thought going on. So if you turn that page over, you see the difference in thought. On the left side, we call this the theology of glory. On the right side, we call it the theology of the cross. Peter, when he was in that hero state, was operating on the right side, the theology of the cross. When he was in that zero state, was operating on the left side, the theology of glory. And very often, as Christians, we operate with both points of view. The reason why is that we are saints and sinners at the same time. So let me explain this a little bit more, because I don't think I've ever named the two categories the way I have here. But you probably have picked up these things from various messages. First of all, the theology of glory is mostly a man-made theology. It's what man comes up with, man's assumption of what God is like and what this relationship with God is like. It focuses upon a heavenly reward as the greatest and best thing. What's in it for me? I'm going to be with God in heaven above. That's all I care about. You can start seeing a little bit of that selfish thinking here. Whereas on the theology of the cross, in parentheses, we have that the Christian operating in this mode is looking at a trusting discipleship. Now, with discipleship, it might start bringing images within your self-thinking discipline. And no one really likes discipline, do we? The answer is no. But yet, this is what our Savior is calling us to. So we can start seeing the tension starting to play. On the left side, we have that the theology of glory, that faith is a means to obtain material success. So I believe and trust in my Lord and Savior because what's in it for me? How can I benefit this side of heaven? Whereas on the theology of the cross, we have faith which is joining itself to Christ in his suffering. Hence, why do we have the corpus, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross? I mean, we're the Christian church. We're living in the time of the resurrection. Why do we always go back to this suffering theme? Why do we always go back to this agony? It doesn't seem politically correct, does it? But yet, this is what Scripture teaches. Let me give you an example for a moment. The title of this message for today is The Lutheran Church of Suffering. So just humor me for this example. Pretend for a moment we actually change the name of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago, Illinois, to The Lutheran Church of Suffering. And right across the street, someone decided to start a new church, the Lutheran Church of Success, Wealth, and Happiness. Which church would you naturally want to go into? You're driving on the street. It's now time for worship services. They're at the same time, and you have to make a decision. Do I want to go where there is success, wealth, and happiness? Or do I want to go where they keep talking about suffering? And agony, and misery. Well, this is a no-brainer. My sinful nature is going to sit there and say, I want to know where the success is. I want to have the wealth. I want to have the happiness. But the spirit within me sits there and says, wait a minute. I suffer because of my sin. I suffer because I live in a world of sin. I need healing. I need a Savior. So getting back to our outline. On this perspective of existence, of the Christian, the theology of glory would say, being a Christian will make your life better in a material sense. Success, wealth, happiness, etc. If not here on earth, then someday in heaven. That is where this theology of success comes in. We see it also in churches that want to preach a sort of a self-help type message. A message in how you can better and improve yourself. A message to financial success, to better happiness in your life and in your community. You know, you can just sort of picture it in the back of your mind. You know, this special sermon series. Maybe on DVDs. On how to live that better Christian life. You can have more happiness in your life, better success and wealth. Just for 5 installments of $19.99, if you act now. I'm joking with you. But there are some churches that teach this. Versus the theology of the cross says, being a Christian is being faithful to Christ, regardless of the cost. If it costs me my relationship with my family members, so be it. If it costs me my relationship with the community, so be it. Regardless of the cost, I will believe and trust in what Christ says, not in what the world is trying to make me do. So success by the worldly standards is not in the vocabulary of the theology of the cross. Success is defined in a different way. Trusting in what Christ has done. Going back to the theology of glory can sort of be summarized with this particular quote. God helps those who help themselves. You probably have heard this quote many times. Please notice that underneath that quote, I have it in parentheses, non-biblical. If you don't believe me, I'll let you borrow my computer program and you can search the scriptures yourself, or you can just start at the cover and read to the other cover. You will not find this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. This is not biblical. What you will find, picking up our theme from our text, as outlined in Mark 8, when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Notice this is about discipleship. Notice this is about taking whatever happens to you, even if it's something in a negative sense, even if it's a weight, a bearing of a cross, even if it is filled with suffering and agony, and taking that cross and hanging on to the faith that Christ has given you and following Jesus. This doesn't mean that we're going to gripe and complain. This means we're going to take what the Lord gives. And we say, amen. The Lord gives us each day as a gift from Him. This is about carrying that cross, not ignoring it, but focusing it upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Theology of Glory has as an evangelism goal or strategy, so to speak, to win souls by convincing people to, quote, buy or accept the message of Christianity, a salesperson's approach to Christianity. My heart grieves as I tell you this story, but it unfortunately is true. I heard a layperson talking to a pastor, a fairly young pastor, fresh out of seminary. And the layperson said to the pastor, you know, as a congregation, we really can't afford to pay you much, but we'll make a deal with you. You bring in some new members, and we'll give you a percentage of the new receipts added to above and beyond your budgeted income to help boost that standard of living. I cringe because it makes the role of the pastor that of a salesperson, sort of getting a 10 or 20% commission on the deal. That is not what Christianity is about. Because notice what on the theology of the cross, evangelism is considered to make disciples by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which God changes the lives in sort of people in sort of an announcement way. We don't charge for the gospel. Yes, we collect offerings only because, yes, we need to keep the lights on, the air conditioning running, especially during the summer, the heat during the wintertime. We need to keep the building operational so that proclamation of the gospel will continue to take place. Think of it this way. In a couple weeks, we'll be starting junior high confirmation. If I was operating out of the theology of glory, I'd be asking, what's in it for me? Why should I spend this time one night a week for 2 years teaching these junior hires the Christian faith? They don't have any jobs, per se, that they're going to be contributing to the church. It'll be a few years before they get those jobs and be contributing to the church. So what's in it for me? The theology of glory refocuses the quote-unquote ministry of the church toward the wealthy and the successful, and ignores those who don't have that prestige in today's world. Where the theology of cross notes that says the announcement is for everyone. Regardless of your financial income, regardless of your place in society, regardless of your language or your culture, regardless whether you're considered a have or a have not, this is an announcement for everyone, regardless where you even sit in the church. It is for you, because Christ gives it to you. Let's go to the next point. The key theme or phrases to look for. In the theology of glory, it's summarized this way. If you do this for God, God will reward you. Notice what's going on here. A little bit of bargaining here. And sometimes in our own prayers, we fall into the same category. You know, God, if you give me this prayer, I'll do this, 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 and for you. Well, let's unpack this. If you can go back to your grammar school days when you were learning about sentence structure between the subject, the verb and the object, we will do well with this theology of glory. In theology of glory, typically, I am the subject. I will do for God, and God will do for me. In the theology of the cross, however, it's just the opposite. God is always the active agent. God is always the subject. God does for you. It is God who gives you grace, not because you are a good person, not because you deserve it, but because He is loving. So the key phrase to look for in the theology of the cross is, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is God's gift to you, not because you earned it or deserved it, but because of God's action. Going back to the theology of glory, it notes that we are climbing up to heaven on a road to glory. Again, you got that emphasis of, look what I'm doing. I'm the one who's doing the climbing. I'm the one who's going to get to that road, on that road, and get to that heavenly glory. Versus the theology of the cross says, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That may pick up in the back of your mind, Psalm 23, written by King David. And some of you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. King David was king of Israel at the high peak moment of Israel's life, when his kingdom was expanding the most and had the most power and the most prestige. Isn't that part of theology of glory? And the answer is no. Because you didn't understand what it took for David to get there. Why was David chosen? God chose David because this man had a heart for God. Not because of his good looks, not because of the way he could speak, but because of what he believed, what he trusted in. In the midst of all that, David also had times of suffering. His own son tried to take his kingdom from him. He was always on the run, it seemed like, from Saul for many years. He had some down moments. But even in the midst of those down moments where he could honestly say, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he still hung on to the promises of God. A beautiful example of taking up our cross and following him. Going back to the theology of glory, when you give a seed gift, it will return to you. Have you ever heard the phrase? Maybe this is a better way of describing it. You know, whatever you give, it'll come back to you. So go ahead and give a little bit more. Again, what's the main purpose of that line of thought? So that I can get something back. So if I loan something out, then someone will loan something to me. That's the way kind of the world works. Notice how the theology of the cross picks up on that concept. You are called to be good stewards of God's gifts. It changes the emphasis of basically saying nothing is yours to give. It's all God's. God has even given you your life and has redeemed your life. What are you going to do with God's gift? Not for your glory, but for God's glory. It is God's gift. Getting back to the theology of glory. Salvation is our eternal reward to come. Faith is about getting into paradise. Again, all the emphasis about, I can't wait until I get to heaven. That's all I'm concerned about. Actually, I've even read some Christian authors that basically say, the reason why we do good works and be quote-unquote good Christians this side of heaven is so that we can have a better place in heaven. The best way I kind of like to describe this thought is that some Christian pastors have taught that if you do a lot of good works now, God will elevate your seat from the bleachers to maybe the regular reserve seatings. But if you're really good, you might get into the sky boxes. And if you're really, really good, you'll get into the prestigious places. That isn't what God is trying to teach in His Word. Picking up the theology of the cross, salvation is God's free gift of grace. Faith is all about trusting in God and doing His will. not for your benefit, but for the glory of God. Again, a different emphasis, a different priority. So where does that leave us with Peter and ourselves in today's world? We see Peter also having the same struggle within him. Just a few verses beforehand, he was that hero, proclaiming Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then his sinful nature kicks in to the theology of glory. Lord, you can't go to Jerusalem. You can't die. My whole plans for our future will be ruined. It's so easy for us to fall into the same trap. When things start going rough in our own lives, do we sit there and say, okay, Lord, give me the grace to accept what's happening? Or do we sit there and start complaining, saying, Lord, where are you? Why am I in pain? Why am I in agony? Who would want to belong to the Lutheran Church of Suffering? And so let me answer that. Those who will want to belong to the Lutheran Church of Suffering operate out of the theology of the cross. Understand that, yes, if they take a real good look at their lives, it is filled with sorrow. Yeah, there might be some temporal joy and happiness, but because of sin, we're not whole. We're not complete. And we need to understand this so that we have a Savior who isn't going to self-medicate us with success, wealth, and happiness. But we have a Savior who says, I'm going to give my own body for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. I will help you bear whatever cross you have to bear. We have a Savior who says, I will give you my own words, words that are the breath of life, words that bestow love and forgiveness, my own flesh and blood. With that bread and wine, again, to strengthen our faith, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins that we have. We have a Savior who takes our suffering and heals us and restores us. Not one who's going to give you a placebo and say, this will make you happy. This will make you wealthy. This will give you success. But one who saves. So do you look at the church as a way of coming and gathering and learning how to be more successful with how to do it type seminars? Or do you think of the church as a hospital for the sick, the weary, the burden, the heavy laden? If so, then come and receive the rest that our Lord gives, trusting in what He provides. This is the theology of the cross. St. Peter would eventually learn this lesson, just as we all need to learn this lesson. And as we learn the lessons from Peter that, yes, he became that zero, Christ didn't write him off, but instead picked him up and said, don't worry, I will still build my church upon this faith which you just got through confessing. You will be one of those leaders in the church. They will look to you as one who remained faithful even in the midst of a great deal of hard times. Peter's challenge was yet to come. When our Savior went to that cross, he failed again, but our Savior restored him. This isn't a theology that says, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. But this is a theology that says, you are loved by God, you are cared by God, because Christ went to the cross to restore you, to remove the sickness of sin, and to bring you eternal life, eternal healing, restoration with Him in heaven above. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.